Chapter 5.
Across the lea, beneath the leaves, where country lands wake up to spring, hurrah, here comes the Prince of Thieves, hear every small bird sing. So daring and so handsome too, he makes a wondrous sight. But if he comes to visit you, lock up your treasures tight.
Sunlight sparkled on the chuckling stream that had lain iced over and silent all winter. Snowdrops nodded agreeably to crocus on the warm southerly breeze. Spring was everywhere. Golden daffodils and the paler narcissus relatives stood guard between the budding trees of mossflower woods. Evergreens that had endured the dark winter took on a new fresh life. Gomphers returning from another successful visit to Kater. The wine flasks bumped and banged against his broad belt as he skipped nimbly through the flowering woodlands, singing aloud with the heady intoxication of springtime.
Cuckoo, cuckoo, good day, my friend, to you. Oh, sly one, you know best, to lay in others' nest is a trick you often do. But I am smarter, sir, than you, cuckoo, my friend, cuckoo.
The blood coursed madly through Gonf's young veins, like the waters of a brook, gurgling happily and generally making him so light-headed that he turned somersaults. Every so often, he would pull a reed flute from his tunic and twiddle away with the sheer joy of being alive on such a morning as this. With a great whoop, Gonf threw himself into a thick tusk of grass and lay with the perspiration rising from him in a small column of steam. Overhead, the sky was a delicate blue, with small white clouds scudding on the breeze. Gonf imagined what it would be like to lie upon a small, fluffy white cloud and allow himself to be buffeted about in the sunny sky.
Whoa! Look out! Zoom! Bump! Woof! Out of the way, you big clouds!
The little mouse thief held tight to the grass, swaying from side to side as he played out his game of make-believe. He did not notice the two weasels dressed in Kater armour until too late. They stood over him looking grim and officious. Gonf smiled impudently, aware of his clunking wine flasks.
Hello, mateys. I was flying my cloud, you see.
The larger of the two prodded him with a spear butt.
Come on, you. On your paws. You're wanted at Kater.
Gonf winked at him cheerily.
Kater? You don't say? Well, how nice. Listen, you two good chaps. Nip along and tell them I'm busy today, but I'll pop in early tomorrow.
The spear point at Gonf's throat discouraged further light banter. The smaller of the two weasels kicked Gonf.
Up you can, thief. Now we know where all the best cheeses and elderberry wine have been going all winter. You'll pay for stealing from Kater.
Gonf stood slowly, placing a paw on his plump little stomach. He looked from one guard to the other, with an air of innocence.
Me? Steal? I beg your pardon, sirs. Did you know the head cook has given me permission to borrow what I please from his larder? Actually, I was going to return the favour by sending him some good recipes. I understand his cooking leaves something to be desired.
The large weasel laughed mirthlessly.
Shall I tell you something, thief? The head cook has personally vowed to skin you with a rusty knife and roast what's left of you for supper.
Gonf nodded appreciatively.
All good. I do hope he saves some for me. Ouch!
Prodded between two spears, he marched off at the guards in the direction of Kater. A pale shaft of sunlight penetrated between the iron bars of the high window slit. The walls of the cell dripped moisture, and sometimes the faint trill of a skylark on the flatlands reached the prisoner. Martin knew that this was the onset of full burgeoning springtime. His face was haggard, his body much thinner, but his eyes still shone with the warrior's angry brightness. Martin rose and paced the cell with the sword handle about his neck. It seemed to grow heavier with time. 15 paces, whichever way he went. From door to door or from wall to wall, it was always 15 paces. He had paced it many times, as the days and weeks grew into months. Gingerveer was too far away to converse with. Besides, it only made the guards angry. They stopped his bread and water for attempting to speak to the one whose name it was forbidden to mention. Now Martin believed that he really had been forgotten and left here to die under the new regime of Sarmina. He stood in the shaft of weak sunlight, trying not to think of the world of blue skies and flowers outside.
Get the little devil in there quick. It'll be less trouble to feed two at once. Ouch! My shin!
Lost in thought, Martin had failed to hear the approach of guards bringing a prisoner to his cell door.
Oh, let go of my ear, you fiend! Hurry up with that door before he bites my lug clean off! Ouch! Oh! He nipped me! Keep him still while I find my key!
There was more shouting and scuffling as the key turned in the lock. Martin ran to the door but was immediately bowled over by another figure, which shot through the doorway straight in on top of him. Together they fell over backward as the cell door slammed shut again. The two prisoners lay still until the poor steps of the guards retreated down the corridor. Martin moved gingerly, easing aside the body that had fallen on top of him. It giggled. He pulled his cellmate into the shaft of sunlight where he could view him more clearly. Gonf winked broadly at him, playing a short jig on his reed flute, then began singing.
I knew a mouse in prison here more than 100 years. His whiskers grew along the ground and right back to his ears. His eyes grew dim, his teeth fell out, his fur went silver grey. If my granddad were here, he said, I wonder what he'd say.
Martin leaned against the wall. He could not help smiling at his odd little cellmate.
Silly! How could the grandfather of 100-year-old mouse say anything? Sorry, my name's Martin the Warrior. What's yours?
Gonf extended a paw.
Martin the Warrior, eh? By gum, Martin, you're a fine, strong-looking fellow, even though you could do with a bit of fattening up. My name's Gonf the Thief, or Prince of Mouse Thieves to you, matey.
Martin shook Gonf warmly by the paw.
Prince of Mouse Thieves? By the fair. You could be the king of the sky, as long as I've got a cellmate to speak to. What did they throw you in here for?
Gonf winced.
Stop squeezing my paws a bit and I'll tell you.
They sat down on the straw together, Gonf massaging his paw.
They caught me running down the larder stocks of wine and cheese, you see. But don't you worry, matey, I can open any lock in Katia. We won't be here for too long, you'll see. Leave it to Gonf.
You mean you can... we can... escape from here? How? When? We're two?
Martin's voice tumbled out, shaky with excitement. Gonf fell back against the wall, laughing.
Oh, matey, not so fast. Don't worry, as soon as I get things organised, we'll say bye-bye to this dump. But first, let's get you fed. They should be ashamed of themselves keeping a great lump like you on bread and water.
Martin shrugged and rubbed his hollow stomach.
What else is there? I was looking to get bread and water sometimes. What do you suggest? Fresh milk and oat cakes?
Sorry, matey, I haven't got milk or oat cakes. Would cheese and elderberry wine do you?
He asked seriously. Martin was lost for words as Gonf opened his tunic and spilled out a wedge of cheese and a flat canteen of wine.
Always keep this for emergencies or trading. Here, you may as well have it. I've had enough of cheese and wine for a bit.
Martin needed no second bidding. He wolfed away at the cheese, slopping wine as he gulped it into a full mouth. Gonf shook his head in wonder as the wine and cheese vanished rapidly.
Go easy, matey. You'll make yourself ill. Take your time.
Martin tried hard to take the good advice, but it was difficult after so long on starvation rations. As he ate, he questioned Gonf.
Tell me, what have I walked into around here, Gonf? I'm only a lone warrior passing through. I know nothing of mossflower and wild cats.
The mouse thief scratched his whiskers reflectively.
Now let me see where to begin. Since long before I was born, the old tyrant, Verdoga Greeneyes, Lord of the Thousand Thingamies and so on, has ruled over Mossflower. One day, long ago, he swept in here at the head of his army. They came down from the north, of course. The fortress must have been what attracted him. To woodlanders, it was nothing but an old ruin that had always been there. Verdoga saw it differently, though. This was a place of plenty where he could settle. So he moved straight in. Repaired it as best he could, called the place Katia, and set himself up as a tyrant. There were none to oppose him. The woodlanders are peaceable creatures. They'd never seen a full army of trained soldiers nor wildcats. Verdoga could do just as he pleased, but he was clever. He allowed our creatures to live within his shadow and farm the land. Half of everything they produced was taken as a tax to feed him and his vermin.
Didn't anyone fight back?
Martin interrupted. Gonf nodded sadly.
Oh, yes. Even now there are old ones who are still too frightened to tell of how Verdoga and his cruel daughter put down the poorly organised rebellion. Those who were not massacred were thrown into this very prison and left to rot. I'm told my own parents were among them, but I don't know the truth of it. When the rebellion was broken, Verdoga proved what a clever general he was. He actually made a kind of peace with the woodlanders.
they were allowed to live within Katia's shadow and farm the land. He said he would protect us from further attacks by bands wandering down from the north. We were partly enslaved then and very much disorganised, not having any proper fighting strength, and with all the rebellious fighters out the way, most creatures seemed just to accept their lot. Then last summer, Vadorga became ill. Since he has been sick, he's left the running of the settlement to his daughter, Zarmina. Unlike her father, she's cruel and evil. Woodlanders have been driven too hard out on the fields and not allowed enough to live on. Hedgehogs like Ben Stickle and his family dare not run away. Where could they go, with young ones to care for? However, things became so bad that a lot of them took the chance and escaped from the settlement. As the numbers grew less, Zarmina demanded more and more from the few. I tell you, matey, it's a sad tale.
They sat side by side, watching the shaft of sunlight striking the cell floor. Martin passed the wine to Gonf.
What do you know about the wildcat called Gingivere?
Gonf took a sip of the wine and passed it back.
I know he never took part in any killing. Woodlanders always hoped that Vadorga would pass the reins to him. He's supposed to be a good sort, for a wildcat, that is. Now you take the sister, Zarmina. She's pure evil. They say that she's far more savage than Vadorga. I've heard the gossip around Katia when I've been visiting here, matey. Do you know, they say old Green Eyes is dead and his son in prison here, so that means Zarmina must be the new ruler now.
Martin nodded.
It's true. I saw and heard it myself. Gingivere is in a cell far down the corridor. I tried to speak to him, but it's too far.
The warrior mouse banged his paw against the wall in frustration.
Why doesn't somebody do something, Gonf?
The mouse thief tapped the side of his nose and lowered his voice.
Sit still and listen, matey. Now, the last families have left the settlement were making plans. All the scattered families and woodlanders have banded together out there in Mossflower Woods. They're learning to become strong once more, and the old spirit of defeat is gone now. We have real fighters training, otters and squirrels, besides hedgehogs and moles and the likes of me. We've even got a badger, Bella of Brockhall. Her family used to rule Mossflower in the good old days. You'll like her. Together we form the Council of Resistance in Mossflower. Corrim, see? Take the first letter of each word. Ha! We're getting stronger every day.
Martin felt the excitement rising within him again.
Do you think that the Corrim know we're locked up here? Will they help us to escape?
Gonf winked broadly, a sly grin on his face.
Shh! Not so loud, matey. Wait and see.
He passed the wine flask across to Martin.
Tell me something, matey. Why do they call you Warrior? Where are you from? Do you live in a place like Mossflower? Was it nice?
Martin put the wine to one side and lay back, staring at the ceiling.
Where I come from, Gonf, there are no forests, only rocks, grass and hills. Aye, that's the Northland. I never knew a mother. I was brought up by my father, Luke the Warrior. My family have always been warriors. We lived in caves, constantly under attack by roaming bands of sea rats who came inland. You were forced to defend your cave, your piece of land, or be overrun. There were other families like us. I had lots of friends. There was Thrug the Strong, Arrowtail, Feldo the Wrestler, Timberlisto.
Martin smiled at the memory of his companions.
It wasn't so bad, I suppose. All we seemed to do was eat, sleep, and fight in those days. As soon as I was tall enough, I learned to lift my father's sword and practice with it.
He touched the broken weapon strung about his neck.
Many's the enemy learned his lesson at the point of this sword. Sea rats, masonry foxes too. One time, my father was wounded and had to stay in our cave. Ha! I remember all that summer, fighting off foes while he lay at the cave entrance, preparing our food and calling advice to me. Then one day, he took off with a band of older warriors to meet the sea rats on the shores of the waters far away. They were supposed to make an end to all invading rats forever. It was a brave idea. Before he went, he gave me his trusty old sword. Then he left carrying spear and shield. My father said that I should stay behind and defend our cave and land, but if he did not return by late autumn, then I was to do as I felt fit.
Gonf nodded.
And he never returned?
Martin closed his eyes.
No. He never came back. I defended our land alone, against all comers. That was when they started calling me Martin the Warrior, instead of Son of Luke the Warrior. I left it as late as I could that autumn, Then, there seemed no point in defending a cave and land just for myself. I started to march south alone. Who knows how far I would have got it if I hadn't been stopped at Kotir?
Gough stood up and stretched.
I'm glad you did stop here, matey. I'd hate to be sitting in this cell talking to myself. I'd sooner talk to a warrior like you.
Martin passed the wine back.
Aye, and I'd sooner be locked up with a thief like yourself than wandering about alone, matey.